Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for this time. And we can sing those wonderful hymns that you have inspired your servants to compose. That today we can sing with our hearts, lifting up your name for your glory, for your honor. For you are so good and so great and deserve all our praise. We thank you, Father. At this time when we read and meditate upon your word, we pray, Father, that you will anoint the preaching of your word. Speak to us, Lord, both speaker and hearer, that we may be greatly encouraged, that we may give our life to you, to serve you with all our heart and love you. And this we pray, we ask, giving you thanks, in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you should visit Melbourne, also please come and worship with us at Bethel. And on behalf of all of them there, I also convey their greetings to you. I'm very glad that for the next 4 months you are going to read and study and meditate upon the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a beautiful book. In fact, the four books in the Bible, starting from Job, Psalm, the Proverbs, and the Ecclesiastes, can form a package or a quadrilogy, if there's such a word. See, because in the book of Job, you have the test of genuine faith. What is really genuine faith? And then when you come to the book of Psalms, you learned about God that today we will see. One of the Psalms that's given to, assigned to me to look into it, Psalm 30. But the book of Psalms is all about God. The knowledge of God, the understanding of God, and then the wisdom, how having understood who God is, we can apply it in our lives. And then the book of Proverbs, having known that, you come to the book of Proverbs and you read it daily, it teaches you how you can relate yourself with your fellow men in accordance to God's ways. Having done all that, you come to the book of Ecclesiastes and it tells us that the whole duty of man is to fear God and obey His commandments. That if you should amass yourself everything in this world, you can have all the material possessions, the status, the name that you have, you can build monuments to your name. But ultimately, in the final analysis, what is your life worth if you do not fear God and obey His commandments? In the words of Solomon, inspired by God, we are nothing, completely nothing. So these four books is wonderful. And I would urge you that you read these four books. Put them all together. You have a 200 over chapters. Try read it, the whole four books in 6 months. After that, you read again 6 months. 1 year, twice. 2 years, four times, and keep on, and I believe you will be much blessed by reading these four books. Now coming to the book of Psalms, and I assigned to me Psalm 30, and when it was assigned to me, I read the Psalm many times, and here you'll find that David really went through his life. He reflected upon his life, and then in this psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he wrote in praise of the Lord God. Now he used the word Lord. That is the covenant, personal covenant name of God, the Almighty God, the Creator. As I read this psalm, it also, I reflect upon, I was so touched that it sometimes in my life also, I've gone through a similar experience. And it so encourages me. And I think that as we go through this psalm, you also may think so. You may reflect upon your life. Maybe you have gone through the same pathway, and you are troubled, or you have not overcome. And I hope that this psalm can help you how you can praise the Lord God. Not one day, not one week, not one month, not one year, but forever. I will praise and thank God forever. Isn't it wonderful? You have your Bible? Please turn to Psalm 30. It's a beautiful psalm. Now, as this is a psalm, a song, I would like to call it David's Symphony. The symphony, normally you have four movements. And so right at the very beginning, the first movement, David strikes the theme of his symphony. Verse 1a, I will extol thee, O Lord. He says, I will extol thee, O Lord. I want to repeat again, I will extol thee, I will exalt thee, I will lift your name up, O Lord, he says. And he used the word Lord, not God. Lord, because it is a personal covenant name of God, that God deals with his people, deals with David on a personal basis. And so he is also our Lord God, he must be. The word God, Elohim, is the name of his creator, of the creator God who created the heavens and the earth. But we as Christians, we know God as our Lord God. And I hope you love that. And David say, I will praise, I will exalt, I will lift up, lift thee, O Lord. And in these 12 verses, he said this thing, he called his name, he invoked his name no less than 7-8 times. You see that? In verse 2, again he say, O Lord, my God, O Lord, in verse 3. And then in verse 4, he called upon the saints to sing unto the Lord, O ye saints. Then in verse 7, he says, Lord, call upon God, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. And then in verse 8, he says, I cry to thee, O Lord. Verse 10, he pleaded with God, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord, he called upon him. And then at the last verse, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and may not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Do you have this kind of feeling towards the Lord God? This is very important. That when we worship the Lord our God, like David, he worshiped not only with his mind, but with understanding, but also with his what? His whole being, his whole heart. When was the last time you go on your knees and you tell, Lord, I love you? When? Can you remember? If not, you always go to the Lord, Lord, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. You tell the Lord that, but the Lord says, you don't have to tell me all this. I know all your needs. Before even you ask, I know them. Then what does God want of you? Oh, you call him, raise him up. Lord, I love you with all my heart. Praise him, and the Lord will bless you. And so this is David. And he went through terrible times. And so, this is the motive, the theme of his first movement. Then he goes straight away into the second. He develops into the second movement where he tells us why, the reason why he praised God. Why he wants to lift up his theme. Look at the verse he says here. He that thou hast lifted, for you have lifted me up. He says, you have lifted me up. And then he says that, and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. Who were David's foes? When I look back, I was thinking of Goliath when he was from the sheepfold, he was a shepherd, and then he went to fight Goliath. He was a little tiny man, and Goliath was very tall. They say he's 9 feet tall, big size. And Goliath says, "Who are you? I'll feed you to the bird." And they were the foes. In fact, David said, "This is the enemy of God." And so he went ahead and he slew David. Later on, God has chosen him to be the next king, and Saul was so jealous of him. And how Saul hounded and hunted him. And sometimes when Saul was depressed, David would come. He was as a musician, he would play the harp in order to soothe him. And then Saul sometimes would take the spear and thrust it against him. It missed him. David had to run away. "Oh," he says, "for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me." God save him. "O Lord, my God," he cried. And then he says in verse 2, "O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me." We have no records of David who is very sick. Only at the last evening years of his life. But this was written just before that. So David must have been, either he was physically ill, or he was hurt or ill inside, spiritually, emotionally. And he says, "The Lord, you heal me." Nothing is impossible for the Lord. And the Lord healed him. Then in verse 3, "O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit." And here again is a reference to what Saul wanted him, to kill him. And then he says here, of course he says that thou hast my soul from the grave. Doesn't mean that he died and he was buried and then the Lord resurrected him. No. This was a figure of speech that he could have died. He was at the throes of death. He was so frightened. But he says, "Thou hast brought my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit, to the grave." And then he calls. This is his movement. Second movement is, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his" what? "Holiness." Do you give thanks for the holiness? Do you praise God for his holiness? Every time when we talk of holiness, what kind of idea do we have? We think that it is very strict. I must follow the Bible, the word, God's commandment, this and that, very strict. You know, it's so cold. The idea of holiness of God is so cold. But you see, what is the idea of holiness? The beauty of holiness. God's holiness is beautiful. Like the rainbow colors. Beautiful. Can you get it? I don't know how to say more than that. Beautiful. That's God's holiness. You come to before the presence, you see God's holiness. When he touches you, you yourself will become one to be as holy as God is holy. Don't think of commandment 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's good to think, but think of God's holiness, his righteousness, his love, his spirit, his mercy, his judgments, all wrapped together, beautiful. And when you think of the holiness of God, it encompasses all these things, his judgment, his testimony, his laws, his statutes, his own character, his mercy, his love, his kindness. Oh, how do you feel? "Lord, I love you and praise you and thank you for your holiness." And he ends his second movement. He moves to the third movement, which is very somber. very serious and sad note. Look at verse 6. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. And then look at what he says, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. It's a sad note. He said what? In my prosperity, in his prosperity, in his became great, and how God blessed him tremendously. He could build his own city in Mount Zion. And during that time when David was king, Israel, the boundaries of Israel was the largest. Israel was a superpower. Even modern Israel today takes the Star of David as its emblem. The blue Star of David as its emblem. David was powerful, like those ancient Near East kings. Very powerful. In my prosperity. And what did David say? David said, I shall never be moved. What happened to him? What happened to him? And God has blessed him so much, protected him. He says what about himself now? I am strong and powerful. I. Sometimes we are like that, are you not? Beginning part, you serve the Lord so wonderfully. God bless you and bless you and bless you. And then one day you say what? You think that because of you, that all these things happen. You have pride now. You become self-important. You tell yourself, I am important. I have confidence. I have power. I cannot be moved. All these things were done by me. Have you ever heard sometimes someone will pray to the Lord? Lord, I have done all these things for you. Very sad. David recognized this. At this time when he penned this psalm, he wrote this symphony, he realized it. And you see how honest he said it out. And what did happen? He acknowledged that, yes, Lord, it was because of your favor that I became prosperous and powerful. It is because of you that thou hast made my mountain. Here is figures of speech, my mountain. Here he built the city, the building upon the city of Zion, upon that hill, that mount. And you make it strong. And David thought that having built that fortress of his, the fortress city of his, he remained secured. At the same time, of course, here you can see mixed feeling here as you look back. It's Lord, actually it was you. But at that time I was so foolish. I thought it was myself. In my prosperity, in my power. He said, David said, I shall not be moved. What happened? When you rob God of his glory, what happened? He says, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. God turned his face. And that's why he got all the trouble. He was troubled. When you rob God of his glory, God is not happy and not pleased. God himself said, he will not allow anyone to rob him of his glory. What God desires from you is where that you must praise him. God's word says that he will dwell in the praises of Israel, his people. He will dwell in the praises of his people. If you come and praise God with all your heart, with all your voice, with all your whole being, God will descend upon you. Your presence will be felt by you. God is pleased with you. And you don't have to worry. You don't have to ask God, please bless me. No, he will know how to bless you. God knows how to bless you. Only human beings do not know how to bless. You must plead, must ask. But God knows. And so if you rob, as David here says, he robbed God of his life. He realized it was his sin. So this is the third movement. He was somber, he was sad note. And he honestly confessed his sin before God. God, I repent, I confess. That's where you find that in verse 8 he says, I cry to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I make my supplication. He keep on pleading with God. The word there, begging God. Please, Lord, forgive my sins, he said. Hear my prayer. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. And then he argues in verse 9, what profit is there? Then he reasoned with God. He says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Of course, at that time, the Old Testament, you don't have the full truth. Today, we know that when we die, we are present with the Lord. But at that time, no. When a person die, in the Old Testament, even you are saint, they think in the other world, it is dark and gloomy. They haven't got the full revelation yet. And so David says that if I die, can my blood praise you? So he reasoned with God here. So he was repentant. Oh Lord. And then we come. So this is the third movement. Very slow and sad and very serious. He repented. Then we come to the last movement was jubilation. Jubilation. It was majestic. Look at verse 10. He says, hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. The question we ask here, did God hear his prayer? Oh, hear. O Lord, hear my prayer. Did God hear his prayer? Did God suddenly from heavens and then he heard the audible voice of the Lord? Yes, I hear your prayer, stupid boy. No. In this respect, I like to think of one incident in the life of Christ, how Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, his daughter was very, very ill unto death. And he came to Jesus and he knelt down, he bowed down before Jesus, you know, the leader of the synagogue. And when he came, the people all knew that this was Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. And he fell on his knees and begged Jesus, please come to my house, please. And heal my daughter, my only daughter. Did Jesus say, hear him? Okay, let's go. You read that passage very carefully. Jesus even did not cast a look at him. Jesus did not care. As if that he did not hear. Left him kneeling there. He was going about healing. And there was a woman, you know, that he had 12 years of this issue of the blood. He said, I would touch only the hem of Jesus, the clothes of Jesus, the garment of Jesus, I will be healed. And she did that and she was healed. When she was healed already at that time when Jesus was talking, then when he touched only Jesus' garment, Jesus said, power is out now. Who is that one who touched me? And then Jesus even was attracted by this thing, was talking to this woman. What about Jairus? Nothing. Jairus must have got a shock. Jairus, was he, what did he think? You think, was Jairus very angry? I think not. Because a beggar cannot complain, is it? Yeah, so he pleaded. I was patient in there. And then suddenly his servant came and said, don't bother the master. Your daughter is dead. Told Jairus. Jesus heard, you know. Jesus said, fear not. Don't be afraid. Just what? Believe. What does he tell me here? When David said, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord, be thou my helper. I think here David poured all his heart. He honestly, fervently prayed and asked God. That's how we all should pray. Jesus here. Maybe at first it's silent. Maybe at first heaven is silent. God is silent. Lord, I call you. I pray to you. How come you don't do this for me? Why am I still in this condition? Jesus heard you. Be patient. Wait upon him. Jesus never overtime. He's always on time. And nothing is impossible for him. If he wills it, he will. And David cried, did God hear? Yes! Look at verse 11. Thou hast turned from me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. Now here the dancing here is not, some people want to use the word, you see dancing is used, the word used in Bible here. God has turned David, his mourning into dancing, and then talk about ballroom dancing. This is not about ballroom dancing, okay? It's a mourning into dancing, an expression of joy. Alright? And then has put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. There you see figures of speech. God did answer. And then you see in the earlier part he developed that God did. And then verse 12 he says, he finished with his symphony by whipping up this note to the end that my glory may shine. Praise to thee. And not be silent. Therefore he give back. Lord, if you have made me great, this glory I pass it back to you. It's you. I will not be silent. He said, O Lord my God, I will praise. I will give thanks unto thee. When? How many times? Forever. 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 Is that your feeling, your relationship with God? Now in this psalm you can see the psalms were, you read all the psalms, you're studying this psalm for 4 months, you know, every time you will see some aspects of the Lord God. God will show it, and through all these psalms you will see his dealings with his people. And God wants you and me to know him, to understand him, and then be wise to apply that knowledge in our life, that we can live on this earth for him, for his glory. To lift him up, as David said, I will extol thee, and I will give thanks to thee forever. If you don't read Psalms, I don't know how many times, Psalm is a book many of us don't read. Only when you travel, we read Psalms. But it is not good when you are troubled, you read some, you're trying to find some answers. We should read some with the spirit of knowing the Lord our God. You must know the Lord our God. You must read his psalms. You see, here David knows the word of God. He knows. In Psalm 19, for example, and he wrote this, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. How many times all of us prefer gold, silver, the honey, and the honeycomb to the laws of God, to the word of God. Oh, David says, continues in verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Is only by reading of the word of God. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. You read the book of Psalms, please do, from today onwards. Every day read one psalm. Every day. And learn more of God. And you will be greatly enriched. When you know about God, your lives will change. And when you are in trouble like David, oh, you cry to the Lord, He will hear you. Truly He will turn your mourning to joy. From weeping to singing, as it says there in verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Johnson also believes this. He read it. He knew it. The experience can be yours. David is no special person like you. Both David and I, and we all are the same. And if God treats David, deals with David in that manner, God deals with you also in the same way. Nothing different. Don't ever say, well, he is David, he is king, I am nobody, nobody. You are nobody. God says what? For you. He spared not his only begotten son. He spared not, you know. He gave his only begotten to die for you, you know. And you can say, God, I am nothing. You are somebody precious in the sight of God. And God wants to save you and send the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. How can you say that? Oh, he is David, and so God will deal with him that way. No! All of us before God is, all of us are the same. And God loves you so much, spare not his son to save you. Will you not read? So, first of all, I want to encourage you that you should read. And then in your life now, you look back. Are there troubles in your life now? Are you suffering from some trouble? I think the first thing that you need to do is not to blame people, not to blame God, or lift up your fist and shake at God. Where are you? Where are you? I don't want to believe you anymore. No. Be calm. Examine yourself. You read the word and you will know. As David said, who will correct my errors? Who will know my faults? You read the word of God and God will tell you. As David himself said, when I became proud, when I said I can never be moved, I will not be moved. And God hid his face and trouble came. You better reflect. God wants you all to be his children, to love him, serve him, and glorify him. But you are somewhere in trouble, going the wrong way all the time. As you walk, you fall down, you got hurt here and there, everything. What is this? Stop! And think. Examine yourself. Go on your knees. Confess your sin. And come back to God. Hear his cry. Lord, hear my cry. Help me. Have mercy upon me. And God hears. If there is no lightning and thunder straight away, and then the roof of your house all collapse, don't worry, God still hears. Because we serve a living God, He hears. His time. Love Him. Stay on. And truly, your weeping will be turned to joy, to rejoicing, to singing. Will you? May God bless us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Father, for the psalm, for David, Lord, how you have dealt with him in such a marvelous, merciful way. Oh, Father, we pray the same for us. We know that you will deal with us the same. Teach us always, Lord, to come before you, to honor you, glorify you, and keep our ways far away from the weak, from wicked ways, Lord, but always to do the things that will always glorify and honor you. We thank you, Father. Bless everyone here tonight, Lord, and especially those who have not received Christ in their heart. Lord, be gracious and merciful to them as you have been merciful to us. Save them, Lord. This we pray, we ask, giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.